Okay, now we're turning back to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to look at verse 15 down through verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 15 down through verse 21 or 22. But I'm taking the title for the message from the question that Peter asked in verse 21. After the Lord had told them to seek reconciliation and to seek forgiveness among one another and to forgive and to love one another, Peter said to the Lord, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" Now, it's a legitimate question. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And Peter thought he was being generous here. He said, "Well, I'm going to forgive him seven times. And if he does it again, well, maybe we're going to have problems." But then the Lord said unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but you just multiply that 70 times seven." So you go beyond and beyond. And what the Lord is setting forth here, as often as we have sinned against the Lord, he's forgiven us, right? Shall we not also on that same principle forgive those who have maybe offended us? Now think about this. We should be ready, willing to forgive others who have wronged us or offended us as often as the Lord, whom we have sinned against, forgiven us. All sin is against God, right? Psalm 51, David said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Sin is the transgression of the law. And we've seen this principle of love and mercy laid down before. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We've seen this principle of forgiving based upon love, based upon how the Lord has forgiven us. If you look back at Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 9. "After this manner, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse 14. "Now, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, he's not teaching here that we're forgiven and we have atonement for our sin based upon our ability to forgive. But what he is saying is this: those who have been forgiven, they are forgiving people. They are forgiving people. Now, this is a subject of deep importance to every believer because it's what the Lord is teaching us here. Now, several things here. Our attitude toward other believers reveals our true relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read a moment ago, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, do also." An unforgiving spirit reveals an unforgiven heart. Those who have received mercy delight to show mercy. Here's the second thing we know. Our attitude toward others in affliction reveals our understanding of God's mercy toward us. We read this in Ephesians chapter 4. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a satisfying, sweet smelling savor. Therefore, we should always be ready, willing, wanting to show mercy to others, to forgive others, as we have received mercy ourselves and forgiveness ourselves from the hand of the Lord. Our Lord said, because of the blood atonement of Christ, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. This is what love, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, is ready to do. To love one another and forgive one another. Let's see if we can find another scripture to help us on that. Turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. John writes a lot about this love of God. But look at 1 John over there by the Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. And let's begin reading there at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we through him might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the mercy seat or sacrifice for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to do what? Love one another. To love one another. We love him because he first loved us. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. We that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple, that you love one another. Peter writes this in his epistle. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Where did Peter learn that lesson? Right here from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, in Matthew chapter 18, this is the Lord's sermon to his apostles. And he talks much about not offending one of his little children. Remember, we saw this last time. Look at Matthew 18, verse 6 and 7. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, talking about God's believing children, little ones which believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and drowned into the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Now, offenses are going to come. Offenses will come. James writes this in James chapter 3. For in many things we offend all. And many things we offend all. The Lord Jesus Christ watches over his little children and is jealous of their welfare and protective of their well-being, is he not? He says in verse 14 of Matthew 18, even so it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. The Lord watches over his children. He's jealous of their condition, jealous of them. Now, when he talks here about offense and offending, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. See verse 15. Our Lord here is not talking about petty things. He's not talking about petty gripes. He's not talking about silly spats. He's not talking about childish acts. But rather, he's talking about serious offenses and sin that would cause division and turmoil among believers in the congregation of assembly of God's people. What are we to do? We should always strive to seek harmony, reconciliation, and peace among believers. Paul writes this in Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, don't avenge yourself. Give place. Because we are still sinners, prone to sin against God and one another, We should always be ready and willing to seek mercy, grace, forgiveness, and reconciliation among God's people. Now, he gives us three things that we should do. Verse 15, moreover, if your brother shall sin against thee, that's the word trespass, sin against thee, go to him and tell him his fault, tell him his sin, between thee and him alone, and he shall hear thee, well, you've gained your brother. You've reconciled. There's peace and harmony again. The offended one is to seek out the offender and tell him his fault privately. The object here is peace and harmony. The object here is not to seek revenge and punishment against him. The object here is reconciliation, and the goal here is peace and harmony, not separation. So seek him out and work things out. Now, hold your place there. I want you to turn to another place where we see this same thing said, but it's in Luke 17. Turn over there. Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 1. Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Now, they will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. That's what we just read in Matthew 18. Now, read on. Verse 3, Luke 17. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now look at the next verse. The apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. We need help. We need help. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Don't we pray that way? So here's the second thing. Now look back at Matthew 18. Verse 17, or verse 16 rather. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word should be established. So if it doesn't work the first time, don't give up. Try again. And take another brother with you, that every word may be established. That is, if it doesn't work out, get more folks involved who have godly wisdom, maybe the pastor, the elder, the deacon of the church. And the goal here again is reconciliation. It's not censorship. We're not seeking to throw one out of the fellowship. If the offender will not be reconciled, will not repent, don't give up, but persevere, seeking peace, seeking help from other believers, and settle it peacefully, if you can, privately. Love covers a multitude of sin. It says in Proverbs 15, in the multitude of counselors is wisdom. In the multitude of counselors is safety. Again, though, it says, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, that is, other believers. But if he neglect to hear them, the man will not repent. He will not relent. He will not. He's going to have his way no matter what, rather than forgive. He will not hear. Let him be unto thee now as a heathen man, as a publican. Let him be unto thee as what would seem an unbeliever to the man that has been offended. But don't regard him as an enemy. Admonish him as a brother in the Lord. Now turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a brother now. See it? Galatians 6 verse 1. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now turn over a couple more pages. Find, I believe it is, yeah, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Brethren, that ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with that man, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. So don't count him as an enemy. Love him as a brother. Now, back to Matthew 18 and verse 18. Matthew 18, 18. Verily, which means truly, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on the earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now we've seen that principle before. Turn back one page to Matthew 16. The Lord asked the question in Matthew 16 unto Peter, but whom say ye that I am? You see it, Matthew 16, 15. Matthew 16, 16. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, that is that confession, thou art the Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, believers have been bound to the Lord Jesus Christ from all eternity in that vital union and that covenant mercies that shall never be broken. We've been bound with Christ. We're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I in them, thou in me, that we may be perfect. We may be made perfect in one. God has reconciled us unto him by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have union with him. We're also bound with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified, the just shall live by faith. So we've been bound with him here, and we shall be bound with him forever. And we've also, believers have also been loosed from their sins. We've been loosed from their debts. The Lord's forgiven us our sin or our debts against God by the blood atonement of Christ, and they shall never perish in their sin. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sin. We've been loosed from the curse of the law, from the bondage of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The Lord will present us before himself in his glorious presence, holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. That is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation to those who are in him. So we've been bound to him, and we've been loosed from our sin. He said their sin and their iniquity, I will remember no more. Justified freely by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 19. On the basis of our sins forgiven, we should seek reconciliation and peace with our brothers if he has offended us. Verse 19, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If these two are in disagreement over something, if they come to agreement that God is true, and that salvation is in him? Well, we have peace and harmony with one another, don't we? We see how blessed is the privilege of prayer before the Lord Jesus Christ. If two men who are at disagreement, if they come together seeking the Lord's will, praying about the matter, and praying about the matter, and asking the Lord's will in the matter, and seeking forgiveness in the matter, that's better than fighting and fussing, isn't it? And if you pray that way, you'll come to a reconciliation peace. That's God's will in the matter. That's God's will in the matter. We see how blessed the privilege of prayer is. Men ought, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray. Always to pray. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In the book of James, we read, confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another, and then do what? Pray for one another. Pray for one another. The Lord gives us another means to seek reconciliation and peace among believers. Pray for one another according to His will. It is always right to seek the will of the Lord when praying. We read a moment ago, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray that His will be done. Now I want you to turn with me and read this. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, about verse 27, I think. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I say unto you, Luke 6:27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. What? Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Isn't that exactly what the Lord did? When we were yet enemies, He laid down His life for us. Read on, verse 28. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that spiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that would taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give every man that asketh of thee, and him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. How do you want to be treated? For if you love them which love you, what think have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them, if you do good to them which do good to you, what think have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank you? What do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But I say unto you, verse 35, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now look at verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Now that's the principle that's laid down here. Merciful as the Lord has been merciful to us. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. If I would have this last week put an ad in the paper, if I would have taken out a full-page ad, and I would have advertised the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be at Zebulun Grace Church Sunday morning at 11:15. Come and meet the Lord. You reckon how many people would have showed up? They would have mocked me, wouldn't they? But you know that's true? That's just not a phony headline. Where two or three of God's people are gathered together in His name for His glory, preaching His gospel, the Lord is right now, right here. We say, I don't see him. I don't even feel him. He didn't ask us to see him or feel him. He asked us to believe his word. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. I don't feel his presence, but I believe his word. That's what faith does. Faith believes his word. Here we see the privilege of worship, meeting together in the name of the Lord, seeking to worship him in spirit and in truth, preaching the word of the Lord are more means the Lord has ordained to keep believers in harmony and peace. That's why we're told not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. When we come together as a body of believers, the Lord has promised his presence, his blessing, his mercies upon us right now. Right now, the Lord's among us. We're meeting in his name. Now, verse 21, I'll wind this up. Then came Peter. Seems like Peter's always got to put Peter's advice in here, doesn't he? Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, just how often should I forgive James and John and the rest of these guys? How often should I forgive my brothers? He's talking about the apostles. How often should I forgive my brother? He's sinned against me. Should I forgive him? Seven times? Why? Yeah, that's pretty generous. The Lord corrected him and said, I say unto thee, not until seven times, but how about try this one, Peter? 70 times seven. 400. Is that 490 times? I can't remember my times tables. I have to ask my phone. I forgot everything that I once knew. Again, how often should we forgive one another? We are to cultivate a spirit and attitude of forgiveness. To overlook much, submit to much, rather than seeking revenge, strife, and debate. Turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm almost done. Just give me a few minutes. Romans chapter 12. You know, the book of Romans is so doctrinally sound about justification by grace and God's electing love and God's electing mercy and these things. God saves sinners by his grace alone. But he also gives us instruction how believers should conduct themselves. Look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, recompense to no man evil for evil. We got that, I'm going to get even. No, don't do that. Provide all things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Give him the meat of the word and the water of the word. If he's thirsty, give him the water of life, Christ. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. With good. How often should we forgive one another? As often as the Lord has forgiven us. And he's forgiven us everything. Let us seek the Lord in these matters and ask for grace to help in our time of need. As the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. Would you win a fallen brother back in peace? Forgive him. Would you prove your faith? Forgive those offenders. Would you grow in grace? Practice forgiveness. Would you be like Christ? Freely forgive as he has forgiven you. Grace experienced in the heart makes his people gracious. mercy revealed in the heart makes us willing to show mercy to others, does it not? Love that's shed abroad in our hearts makes us to love others. Our Lord said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. Grace begets grace. Mercy begets mercy. Love begets love. If God so loved us, we ought also to love what? One another. One another. And then in verse 23 down through verse 35, the Lord gives that illustration of a man who had been forgiven a great sum of money, freely forgiven. And then that man went out and found someone that owed him just a couple bucks and said, you pay me. That man should have been generous, right? Just as the Lord was to him. And we'll look at that next week about debts forgiven. Debts forgiven. Our debts and our sins are forgiven because the Lord Jesus Christ paid our sin debt with his own blood. That's the only reason that we are forgiven before God.